Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Brother Robin, and this is Open Forum, a Bible study program where you can call in and get Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. We'd like you to tune in and call in with your questions or comments. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ and Darren Luke, where Brother Louis Parker IV, the local minister, in cooperation with the Church of Christ in Butcher, Texas, where I serve as local minister. And we invite our panel of minister guests, Brother Williams, Brother Johnson, Brother L.C. Parker Jr., Brother Louis Parker IV, Brother Brown serves as our moderator. We're thankful to God to have this opportunity to share in His holy and divine word, the Bible. If you have a question or comment, you can call us at 1-347-850-8256. That's 1-347-850-8256. And our motto is, the dumbest question in the world is the one that's never asked. So if you have a Bible question, please call us. At this time, we're going to pause for prayer. We'll have Brother Parker with our prayer for us. Brother Parker.
Yes. Our Father, which art in heaven, the creator, the maker of all mankind and all things, Heavenly Father, we come humbly bowed before that throne of grace, thanking you for this life that we are now living and thanking you for your blessing that you have shaded upon us, Lord. Father God, we pray for all true gospel ministers throughout the world and all true churches of Christ throughout the world, that we will continue to teach and preach and set the example that Christ commanded us to do on earth. And we'll live a good life, and others will too, Father. Bless this program. Let it get larger and larger, Father. Get people calling and asking questions that they need to know something about, Father. Be with us, Father. We beg this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.
That
is
all
things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Once again, this is Open Forum. And we invite you to tune in and call in with your Bible answers, Bible questions, and we will give you a Bible answer. We are not on the air to give you our opinions. We're not at liberty to give our opinions or our personal feelings. We'll only give you what thus said the Lord, what the Bible says. And we preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't use our opinions or our personal feelings. We only we teach the truth in love. We teach the truth.
Amen.
Love, and we ask you to please tune in and call in with your questions, and we'll give you a Bible answer. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. As we get into our program tonight, we want to focus on 2 John 9, where the Bible reads, "Whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into thy house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed, he will take of his evil deeds. So we want to know tonight about the doctrine of Christ. What do you know about the doctrine of Christ? What is found in the doctrine? Right, and what is found there? And, you know, there are untold millions of folks who are unaware of this very important precept in the Bible. The Bible tells us, Brother John is telling us, that if you don't continue in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God with you. So we want to know, how do you know your doctrine is the doctrine of Christ? What's found in it? What's the things you preach and practice? Are they found in the doctrine of Christ? I'm going to give an example, and we'll go from there. This popular and sinful practice of taking small infants and pouring water on the baby's head and calling it christening, that is not in the doctrine of Christ. It was never commanded. We have no example of it anywhere in the Bible. It's not even inferred. This stuff called christening, where did it come from? From heaven? Are from men, because there's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. So, where is it found in the doctrine of Christ? If you have any idea where it's found, please call us and let's discuss these things, because we're talking about the doctrine of Christ. The number to call is 347-850-8252. Brother Parker.
Yes, and we'd just like to say, the Bible, men will tell you anything and everything in order to say that you're saved and get them a church going, and they say that's their church. The church belongs to Christ. Christ shed his blood upon the cross. Now, we might all have a right to the tree of life. Okay? When you read the Bible, every example of becoming a member of the church that Christ gave his life for, they were all baptized in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Folk must have thrown their Bibles away or torn their Bibles up. Even Christ was baptized. Paul was baptized. Paul, everybody was baptized into Christ Jesus. That's how you become a member of the body of Christ. And we need to let that be known. Show us also in the Bible, anywhere other than baptism, someone became a member of the church that's in the Bible. Please help us, help us, help us. If you know that, we need to know that. If you can prove that, you need to prove that and let us know that. We need to stop teaching the doctrine of Christ. There's some new doctrine out here. Brother Johnson.
Are you there, Brother Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
I noticed something about people who have a problem with the Church of Christ. I was just thinking about our Bible class last night when we had. There was a man sitting in there. He never said nothing. But we knew that he wasn't a member of the Church of Christ and everything. But my point is this. Why do men keep fighting against something that they don't see in the Bible, and they try to defend it on their point of view? For an example, we can prove that the Church of Christ is in the Bible, and we can prove that Christ is the head of the church. But when we ask them who is the head of their church, quote me on church, they can't give us the answer. Or they'll say, I'll get back with you later on, Brother Johnson or Brother William or Brother Robinson or anybody or Brother Parker. If I'm going to teach you the Word of God, I should be able to give you an answer from the Word of God.
That's right.
I shouldn't have to say, well, I'll get back with you later on and all of that. I'm not talking about putting you on the spot and trying to make you look bad or anything. Simple, let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. If I say, well, Brother Robin, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I say I can prove it from the Bible, and we go to the Bible, and I show you that the Church of Christ is in there, and you go to arguing with me, something wrong with that picture. The man that don't want to listen, something wrong with him, because he's saying, well, all the churches belong to the Lord. Well, I don't agree with that. We gonna have to just confront people sometime up front, because some people think that we are foolish or crazy ones when we say the Church of Christ is the only church in the Bible. We can prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I think about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20, when the Apostle Paul was talking about taking up a collection there, he said, let us brethren do it. In other words, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, let us brethren do it. And brethren there is talking about the church, because we are brothers. All four or five of us are brothers in Christ. But the church now done kind of got away from the truth of that. They said, well, I ain't your brother. I'm not this. Well, I look at that situation. If we serving the same God and serving and going by the book, we all are brothers. It's no big eyes and little U's in the church. It's just brothers in Christ. But we got folks in the church of Christ is acting kind of ugly now. And they And I'm not putting no brother down over here where we at now, but I have seen brethren act ugly with other brothers, and I said, man, why you doing that? Well, he think he know everything. No, we don't think we know everything, but we
Amen.
Do know the truth. According to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to the
yes.
few that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
What's the problem with that? Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. We got folks hung up on truth of the gospel. They don't want to hear it, or we know they don't want to hear the truth because they look at us like we lose our minds. But the Bible ain't going to change for none of us. According to Malachi
Amen.
Chapter 3 and verse number 6, I am the Lord God, I change. Now, God's not going to change because we don't like what it says. You know, a lot of us don't like what it says either. But we're still going to have to do God's will. I like the way
mm-hmm.
Brother Robin always uses this one scripture all the time in Proverbs 4 and 7. Get a proper understanding. You know, a lot of us won't do that. We don't try to get a proper. We just won't take the word of God and run with it. Like, oh, I got it all wrapped up. I have to go out and tell and get me a church started. When a man go out here and start trying to build him a church, you better get away from that man. But if he don't go out here and preach the gospel like Jesus told us to do, then we got something going like we're doing tonight. All we want
Amen.
To do is help the people Amen. Get into Christ. That's what
mm-hmm.
we want to do. But we got a lot of people don't want to do that. We got a lot of people want to set their own little organization and call it theirs and mine. It won't work. It's either God's
mm-hmm.
way or no way.
Amen.
Any other comment, brethren?
Amen.
I don't want to take the whole show.
Brother William.
Well, you know, brethren, the subject that we're talking about, the Lord's Church, is a very controversial subject in our religious community today. Whenever you say one church, you have a problem with religious people. You know, the world is not so upset about it because they don't really know what church is what. But they heard the commentary. All these churches belong to Christ. We have to teach people what the church is because people don't know what the church is. People think
Amen.
The church is a building, an organization that some pastor started and set up, and it follows some doctrine that he came up with and so forth and so on. And they don't realize that the church is a spiritual entity. It is the body, the spiritual body of Christ. It is the spiritual wife of Christ. It is the spiritual household of Christ. It is the spiritual kingdom of Christ. And people don't look at the church in those terms. They often think about the physical, that they see, a building with a name on it and a bunch of folk going up there worshiping. And they call that a church. But the definition of the church is not that at all. The definition of the church is that it is a spiritual group, spiritual body of people, made up of people, saved souls. Not necessarily human bodies, but saved souls. The Old Testament faithful who received the remission of sins when Christ died and shed his blood are as much a part of the spiritual kingdom of Christ as we are today. So it's not, and they are part of the New Testament kingdom of Christ because the Old Testament philosophy, the Old Testament law and covenant is ended. It ended when Christ died. When Christ died, his new will and testament came into effect. And so we have to constantly teach people what the church is. It's made up of all of those who are saved souls, saved by the blood of Christ through obedience to the gospel. And that obedience has to do with baptism. It has to do with being born again, being born spiritually. That's what that's all about. You know, people talk about being born again, and they talk about it as supposed to be some kind of spiritual miracle. It's not. Being born again, Jesus explains it very plainly in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It is being baptized in water for the removal of your sins. It is being born out of the water and by the power of the Holy Spirit, which becomes a part of our life when we obey Christ. Peter said that in Acts 2:38. He says, you repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. We have to be born of the spiritual grace that God has provided. And those who are born of the Spirit are spirit. That which is spirit is spirit. That which is natural is natural. And it has nothing to do with some of the ecumenical and some of the different ideas that ministers talk about being born again. They talk about being born of the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. You got the speaking tongues. You got all this kind of foolishness. And it has nothing to do with baptism. Baptism is the new birth. And we have to constantly teach people these things because they don't understand that this is how the church was organized. And this is how you get to be a member of the church. You don't join a Bible-believing church, as people are encouraging them to do. You know, we go to many funeral events, and these ministers don't talk about baptism at all. But when they talk to people about being saved and becoming united with Christ, they talk about, you know, now all you have to do is go and join yourself to a Bible-believing church. But what is a Bible-believing church? Obviously, where you're talking, where you're representing, must not be one, because you're sending the people away. The apostles never taught the gospel. They never preached the gospel and instructed people to go somewhere in order to find their place in the kingdom of God. They were taught that once you obey the gospel, you are automatically a part of the spiritual kingdom of salvation in Christ Jesus. And this is what we have to teach today. But people need to be taught this thing because a lot of them just don't know. And they don't know their history. We talked to folks, Brother Johnson and I were teaching last night. And we had a guy visit, and we asked him, hey, man, do you know who started your religious faith? Do you know when it actually got started? Have you ever been taught the history of the beginning of your religious doctrine and practice? The man said no. He hadn't been taught anything. He don't know who started the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, or none of them. He don't know when they started. All he knows is all his life he's being taught, and he's been a part of a religion because that's what his parents was a part of. But there's no Bible that he had. He knows it's not even in the Bible. And we have taught him where the Bible church began and showed it to him in Acts chapter 2 and throughout the scriptures. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we have billions of people who are lost. They are religious. They're good people. They believe that they are obeying the will of God. They're worshiping God. But their worship is in vain. Their faith is in vain. They don't have the salvation that Christ provided when he died on the cross and established his kingdom and his law. And they believe that they're okay. And they have others who will tell them, you're all right, man. Don't worry about that. We've had people understand that their baptism is not salvation. And when they decide they want to get baptized and obey the gospel, they have folks tell them, you already been baptized. You don't have to be baptized no more. You were baptized in the Methodist church. You don't have to be baptized anymore. So it's, gentlemen, I'm in total agreement with all that you have said. And, you know, I just want to piggyback and ride that same thing. We have got to stay with what the scriptures teach. And that's what I appreciate about what Brother Robbins stated in the beginning. We got to give the scriptures. When we ask a person a question, or when a person asks a question, we need to give them a scriptural answer. And we tell people, you got to ask a Bible question. You can't ask me a question that has nothing to do with God and his will and expect me to go into the Bible and give you a Bible answer to that question when it has nothing to do with God and the Bible. You know, we have to constantly teach people the word and give them chapter and verse so that they can go and read it for themselves and they can get a greater understanding.
Brother Robin.
Yes, sir.
Brother Robin, we're back to you, man.
Okay, thank you very much. Brother Brown, do we have any questions on the line?
No, sir, not at the moment.
Okay, well, I want to make a point here. As Brother William was just saying, I want to clarify something about baptism. One cannot be taught wrongly and yet baptized right. Then look at that.
Right. Amen.
What makes your baptism valid is the teaching that precedes it. You got to be taught and taught properly. We have that example in the book of Acts 19 chapter. The Bible says in Acts 19 and verse 1 through 5, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you seen the Holy Ghost and you believe? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard or there be the Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Now, see, that's the old Middle English. To bring that to our modern aspect, he said, what were you taught upon being baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. See, John didn't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's why those disciples there didn't know anything about it. See? So they said, Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. They should believe on him, we should come after him, and that's from Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, you notice, he didn't say they were rebaptized because they realized upon being mistaught the first time, that baptism was no good at all. They only got wet. They had to go back to where the mistake was made. And the mistake was made in the teaching. See, you can't be taught wrongly and baptized right. It doesn't work that way. You must be taught and taught properly. While I'm in that area, I want to say this. A man who don't know enough can cause more problems than a man who know nothing at all. Because to come along behind him and straighten that mess out, because people have been misled and mistaught for years by false doctrine. That's the biggest enemy of the Lord's church today is false teaching, because what it does, it misleads people and make them think they're saved when they're not. It's like having counterfeit money. It looks like money, but it's not real money. It has no value. Same thing with false doctrine. It sounds good and makes you feel good, but it has no spiritual value at all. Can't say that. No more than why. That's why we have this program, the Church of the Bible, and let's just see what it says. You know, I remember one time a guy called me a Pharisee because of the stance I take on the Word of God. I'm saying, show me in the Bible all these things you're saying. He said, well, you said you're a Pharisee. I said, well, I tell you what. I'm not a Pharisee or a Sadducee, but what we can do, open the Bible and let's see. Open your Bible and see what it says. So we're saying, let's go to the Bible and see what it says. Our number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and we need to understand, in order to become a member of the body of the church that's in the Bible, which is the Church of Christ, we must be born again. People don't get that too much. Now, notice in John chapter 3, you read it at your own time. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You see, many out there have not obeyed the gospel yet, and they just don't understand this. You'll see it. And then in verse 4 of John 3, he said, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Ooh, here's a man, a ruler of the Jews, intelligent man. See, that was a question I was asked because he didn't know anything about being born again. And there are many people in the world right now that say that they are a Christian and they didn't have to go to no water. They just accept Jesus in their hearts. As long as he's in our heart, we will say, no, 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 no. You have to be born again. Jesus answered the question in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot come into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that I say it unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit, by faith and obedience. Faith, you heard the word, you believed the word of God, you repented of your sins, you confess Christ that he is the Son of God, and you are buried in the water, and spiritually you are born afresh. All of your past sins forgiven unto you. You come up out of the water as a newborn baby, ready to study and follow the instructions of the Bible. Born again, all of your past sins. Look at the holistic life that the Apostle Paul was living. The same people he was beating and putting in prison and killing, he was baptized and born again. Philippians 3:13, he said this, this one thing I do. Forget about those things which are behind. Press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So once you're born again, forget about all your foolishness behind you, because you're a new creature in Christ. Walk in the footsteps of Christ and live the finest life on earth that you could have ever lived. Robin, anybody else next?
Yeah. There any questions on the line? Brother Brown,
not the moment.
But
how many people on that?
Brother Johnson, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Well, as we were saying, when it comes down to this sort of thing, we're not at liberty to give our opinion. We only give you what the Bible says. Now, what the problem is, when people are unaware of the truth, anything sounds good to them.
Amen.
Jesus our Lord said in John 8 chapter, in verse 30 and 31, he says, if you continue in my word, then you might have it indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When he stood there before Pilate, Pilate asked him, what is truth? And he turned around and walked away without ever waiting for the answer. You know why? Because he already knew. Because when he got up for the cross, he said, I find no fault in this man. What are we talking about? See, Pilate's responsibility was to find out if Roman law had been violated. And by questioning Jesus our Lord, he realized he was innocent. And he came out and said, I find no fault in this man. Yet, he stood there and washed his hands to wash himself out of it. And you know, that's the worst thing he could have ever done. When Pilate washed his hands before that crowd, what he really did, he washed himself completely out of history, because he was demoted to Alexandria the very next year and was never heard from again.
That's right,
man.
Read history, because it's right there. Pilate shirked responsibility because he knew the answer. He asked the question, what is truth? And he knew all along what he was. He was innocent. Jesus all along was innocent. But the Bible says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away because Pilate crucified an innocent man. See? That was the truth he's talking about. And many folks have the same problem blinding themselves when it comes down to the truth. It's only one truth as far as the gospel is concerned. There's only one gospel. Yes, you got all this division all over the place. Yes, there's only one gospel. I don't think you'll find anybody who will say there's more than one gospel. There's only one gospel, meaning the gospel facts. I don't mean gospel accounts. I mean the gospel facts. Only one. Isn't it kind of ironic that the gospel facts verbatim is only found in one passage in the whole Bible? Because God is not the author of confusion.
All right.
Where is God's righteousness found today? It's only found in one place. It's only found in the gospel, in Romans chapter 1, and verse 16, where the Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Then he says, "For therein or in there is the what? Righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and then the just shall live by faith." That's the only way man can be found righteous instead of God, when he obeys the gospel of Christ. And I'm going to call it 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Williams. Is that Brother Williams?
I want to concur wholeheartedly with what Brother Parker and Brother Robin just said. I want to say some more about this baptism. Baptism is an act of faith. People are always talking about, oh, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. As long as you believe Jesus Christ in your heart, and he died for your sins, and you want him to be your personal Lord and say, believing in Jesus Christ is not just a matter of stating that my consciousness accepts Jesus as being the one who died for my sins, but it also includes the obedience of faith. That is, I must act upon that faith. Listen, everybody does and do what they do based on what they believe. Whatever you believe in, that's what you do. If you believe that you need to go to work and earn a living, provide for you and your family, what do? Do you just say, well, I believe in working, and you sit there? No, you go to work. You go to your job.
Amen.
You go and make your money so that you can pay your bills and take care of your expenses of life. But people talk about, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and then they sit there and drink and smoke and talk and cuss and everything else, talking about, I know I'm saved because Jesus died for my sin. This is foolishness. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Okay? It's not taking a bath. It's not putting away the filth of the flesh. But it is the answer of a good call. Why are you answering? Because God is calling. God calls us through the gospel, and baptism is the means by which we respond to God's call to salvation, in that we obey the command of the gospel. Baptism is a command. Jesus commanded it. You have preachers, T.D. Jakes, and others that teach everything but baptism, and actually teach that baptism is not essential to being saved. They're telling folks that they can be saved, but they're telling them nothing about baptism for the remission of sins. Jesus commanded it. He commanded Mark 16:15-16. He says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." If you don't believe the gospel, you're already under condemnation. Christ came to get us out of condemnation, John 3:17. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. But he came into the world that we might be saved. He came and provided salvation for the world because we were already condemned in our sin. Every man, before he met Christ, is condemned in sin. Now, in Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation. But you have to be in Christ. The only way to get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. You have to put on Christ, and the way you put on Christ is you are baptized into Christ. And that's for the removal of your sins. That's for the sanctification of your spirit. You have been saved by the power of God through grace. And, you know, baptism is an act of faith. If you don't become baptized after hearing the truth, then you're not acting upon faith, and your faith is vain.
Amen.
James chapter 2, verse 14. Faith without obedience is dead. It's no good. You tell somebody that a man tell a woman, I love you, baby. I love you. I care about you. But he does nothing to demonstrate his love or his care or his concern for her well-being. How is she to believe and appreciate that? That's
Amen.
No good. God got tired of that. God's been tired. He's tired of this lip service that men give. Way back in Amos chapter 6, Amos chapter 5, he told them, take away the vowels and the string instrument and all that. Why? Because y'all putting up lip service. See, God authorized musical instruments in the Old Testament worship under David. First Chronicles chapter 25, and again in Second Chronicles chapter 29. He had David to set it up. Hezekiah, in Second Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah went and got the book of the law, and he set the worship up again. And he got rid of the high places that his father and his forefathers had tolerated. And he set the worship up again, and God instructed me to. But God is not for play. You can't go and pretend and play like you're worshiping God, and you're not sincere, and you're not being obedient, and you're not faithful and righteous, and God accepts that. And the same thing is true today, even as we worship God. We have people worshiping God in vain because why? Matthew chapter 15, verse 89. In vain they do worship me. This is Jesus talking. They're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said that. He said that before he died on the cross because he knows the nature of man and he knows how man responds in his faith and in his religion. There are those who will be worshiping God and who are worshiping God today, but they're worshiping in vain. But if you tell people they're worshiping God in vain, they'll tell you something else, and they'll call you crazy because people don't believe there is such a thing as worshiping God in vain. But Jesus said there is. So what is vain worship? Vain worship is when we worship not according to the truth. That's what it is. If you are worshiping according to the Bible's direction, then you are not worshiping according to the truth, and that worship is no good. It has no value. And so baptism is an act of faith, and that faith, as Brother Horace mentioned earlier, is based on what you've been taught. If you haven't been taught the truth, you can get baptized all day long, but you're not saved because you haven't obeyed the truth. You are still bound by your sins. You are still bound to condemnation, eternal damnation, because you still have your sins. So this is something that we have to continually teach. We got to teach this to the church. We got to let them know God is not for no lip service. God wants obedience. God wants faithfulness. He don't want, you can't play with God and then think, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. That's all I need, and I can go on to heaven. No, you have to live right. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism, that just like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also are raised to walk in a new life. You can't live the way you used to live and say that I'm saved. You can't do all the stuff you used to do and say that I'm sanctified and I'm in Christ. because there's a change that must happen in your life in order for salvation to have its full effect and have its full benefit for you in life. That's why we have to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2. We have to be faithful even if it kills us. It didn't say just be faithful until death, but be faithful unto death. What if your faith is being challenged? What if Satan, and through some man or some person, decides to threaten your faith? They had to deal with that in the first century. There were those who were Christians and who died because of their faith. We have to have that kind of faith today. We really have to have it in the Church of Christ, and we have to have that kind of faith. And this is the faith that we teach people. You have to be willing to die for your faith in order to please God. Because if you're not willing to die for it, then you give it up. And if you give it up, you are condemned, and you have turned your back on Christ, and you are worse off than you were before you believed. Because you are like the proverbial dog that has returned to his vomit. You're like the fowl, the pig, that has been washed and cleaned and returns and turns right around and go wallow in the mud.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Not God's will. See, God's will must be obeyed. We got a lot of folk doing a lot of good stuff. They helping the poor. They feeding the hungry. They clothing the naked. They housing the homeless. They doing all that. They visiting the prisoners in prison. They quoting scriptures to folk. But Jesus said, unless you are obedient to the will of God, then all of that you have done is of no value. He says, I don't even know you. Why? How can a parent experience the child, their child, who has never been born? That's impossible. I can't have a relationship with my child who has never been born. If you have never obeyed the gospel and been born again, how can God be your father? How can you have a relationship? And many people are worshiping God, and they're doing some good things. They're doing some Christian acts, but they've never been born to the family of God. And Jesus is going to tell them, I never knew you. And that's the truth. He can't. How can God know us spiritually when we've never been spiritually reborn? That's why Jesus said you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 5. Don't be surprised. Don't be, taken aback. You must be born again. Because we have all have sinned and fall short. Every man has sinned. Before we knew Christ, before we knew the truth, we sinned. The gospel lets us know our condition. And when we find out, we should be just like those disciples in Acts chapter 19. We should obey the gospel. Soon as you find out that you have missed the mark, do what God says. That's how you're going to guarantee your opportunity for eternal life with Christ. Otherwise, when Christ comes back, he said, I don't even know you. You never obeyed the will of my Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Do we have any questions on anything?
There any questions on the line? There any questions?
No, sir. Not at the moment.
Any comments? Anybody on the line want to say something? You don't have to have a question. If you got something you need to say that's pregnant to what we're saying.
Well, anyway, we'll say this. In the same chapter, Jesus our Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, he says, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. He said, because in that day, many will say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in thy name?
Yes.
In thy name cast out devils? And in thy name go up and work? And he says, I'll profess unto you, I never knew you. I mean, you never obeyed the gospel. I never recognized you. See, and that's the thing about Satan. Satan is a deceiver. He'll make folks think they're saved when they're not. I keep saying you need to go back to where the mistake was made in the teaching. You cannot be taught wrongly and baptized right. It doesn't work that way. You must be taught and taught properly. Jesus our Lord said, in John 6:45. He says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God.
Mm-hmm.
Every man that has heard and learn of the Father come to me. Whenever you have a combination of hearing and learning, that infers there has to be some teaching. The people have to be taught, have to be taught properly. This is what we're trying to say. We're not trying to be a stickler or make folk or try to belittle people because of their religious beliefs or anything like that or making light of it. No, we're trying to show you what the Bible actually teaches, because when it's all said and done and we all stand before God on the last day, we're going to be judged by those things written in the Bible. The very thing we're saying right now, we're going to be judged by it. So it behooves us all to go back to the Bible and do what the Bible says, because that's the instructions. You see, before obeying the gospel, yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God before obeying the gospel. Yes, before.
Man.
And all understand before obeying the gospel. See, so we got to all be called out by the gospel. See, that's the word church means, the called out. You're called out from the world.
Man.
By way of the gospel, and you belong to Christ Jesus. See, that's where it's at. And I know it makes some folks feel uncomfortable and makes some folks feel uneasy, but this program is not about trying to make you feel good, because faith don't come by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Remember old man Isaac, when he got ready to bless those boys of his, Jacob and Esau? He almost caught Jacob because he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Went by feeling, and he blessed the wrong one. Amen.
Amen.
He almost caught him. He said,
amen.
He sound like amen. How does faith come? Faith come by hearing, not by feeling. And too many folk are deceived by that. They want to go to a church where they make them feel good. It's not about feeling. We're not called to come together to entertain each other. No, it's not about that at all. It's about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's where it's at. Please call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, you were saying some dynamite stuff that we are going to have to know what the church and the work of the church is, and minister of our job. I started preaching when I was 8 years old. I remember several young men who I preached at a gospel meeting, and they obeyed the gospel. And when they obeyed the gospel, they came out of a terrible life that they were living. They were night clubbing, whoremongering, and one was smoking a little marijuana. He said a little because he quit. And I made sure that he had quit. We checked that out. Those men became strong Christians through the teachings of the Word of God. They came out of there. And they got married, and they had children, and they lived a good life, no more clubbing, no more acting crazy and carrying on, just living a Christian life. We need a lot more of this preaching going on and teaching that we have to have. But now what some churches are doing, they're bringing so much is happening at the nightclub. They're bringing the nightclub to the church, and you're going to go to hell for that. We can't do it. Come up in here with all that boom banging and band music and carrying on and feeling good, and the preacher telling you what you want to hear, and you just feeling good. Paul said that in 2 Timothy 4. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So a lot of people don't want to hear nothing from the Bible. They can't endure it. And they'll heap to themselves teachers having itch and ears. They'll get better medicine and get somebody who's going to tell them what they want to hear. Treat them like they want to treat. Make them feel good on Sunday morning, even better than they felt good on Saturday night. We got our work to do. And those of you that are listeners, you need to get out of the what you call the church. You would never baptize there or whatever. If it's got a different name there of some kind that's not found in the church, you cannot go to heaven. Brother Johnson, was that you?
Brother Johnson.
Yes, sir. I was sitting here just listening to all that good preaching tonight. I was just enjoying just listening. I was in the denominational world, I believe I would come running out of that place. Because what I heard tonight, it is strictly from the book.
Amen.
I appreciate Brother Robin, and I appreciate
Amen.
Brother Parker, and I appreciate Brother William.
Amen.
With this knowledge that God has blessed you with to be able to preach the word. But I want to read something to you right quick, if you don't mind. I want to read something to you right quick, if you don't mind. The Apostle Paul is saying something here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 through 4. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also I have received, and wherein he stands." He said, "by which also ye are saved, if you keep in remembrance what if I have preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. For I deliver unto you this of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And verse 4, it says, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." You see, the Apostle Paul understood what Christ did. He rose from the dead. So we know we got hope in the Scriptures if we apply the Scriptures to our lives. See, what we have to do is obey God's will. God
Amen.
Has made it plain and simple. He didn't put nothing in here that we can't understand. For
Amen.
Example, Mark the 16th chapter, I know we've said it several times in the book, but he said unto them, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature," that's every human being, "and he that believed this gospel shall be saved." He that believed the gospel, what he really was saying, believe the truth of the gospel. See, a lot of folks say, "I believe in Jesus," but they don't believe in the truth of Jesus, because they will not surrender and obey what God has told them what they need to do to be saved. For an example, if I come to your house, Brother Robin, and I tell you exactly what Jesus said, and then me and you start arguing something wrong with that picture. Because, see, I'm not going to tell you something that God didn't say. I said, "Brother Robin, you read that." Then after you read it, I'm going to ask you, did you understand it? Then after you say, "Well, yeah, Brother Johnson, I stood there." Okay, we go on to the next point. Then we get to the point that we need to get to. Then I said, "Now, are you ready to be baptized?" You either got one or two answers. Yes, I want to be baptized into Christ where the Bible says it, or no, I don't. And most folks will say, "I already been baptized." But they don't know what they were baptized for. You ask the average John Q. Public, Brother Parker, he can't tell you. All he can say is, "Yeah, I've been baptized. Baptized for what? See, the Bible don't just say be baptized. When Peter was preaching to those folks on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the 11, but Peter's words were recorded, and Peter told them people plain and simple. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." That was the first thing. That's get a new heart, a new mind. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin." Now look at this. God gave a gift that no man can ever give, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God gave that right after those folks obeyed the gospel. He didn't give it before then, but men today say they already got the Holy Spirit. They already been baptized unto the Holy Spirit. But the Bible didn't say it. He said he gave it to them. You see, folks don't study the scripture. And then they were added to the church in Acts 2:41. You cannot join no church of Christ. We try to strenuize and tell the brethren or friends or whatever they may be to us, you cannot join the church of Christ. Only thing you can do is either be added to it or you're never a member of the church in the first place. But
amen.
We got folks today will say, I join what I want. I do this. I do. You may join any building you want to. You may follow that preacher if you want to. But to please God, you have to give it up. See, our biggest problem in the world, we don't want to give up that false religion. See, Paul was a very religious man. Huh? He was very religious. According to Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11 through 13, if my memory serves me right. He was religious. What was wrong with his religion? He wasn't in Christ. See, we got to know the eunuch was religious, but he wasn't in Christ. He had just come from worship. Under that Old Testament law, that patriarchal law, he was doing fine, but he hadn't heard the gospel. We got folks, they have heard it, but they won't do nothing about it. They want to argue with the preach, with God's preachers. We're not trying to hurt their feelings or trying to misuse them, like Brother Robinson said. We're not trying to make them look bad. We're just trying to help them if they really want the help. But if they don't want the help, then we can't do nothing for them. Only thing we can do for them physically, maybe feeding and clothing and stuff, but I'm not talking about that. When it comes down to their soul, we can't do nothing for them but tell them the truth.
Amen.
And they get, you can look in their eyes and tell that they're all swollen up. Well, I got to check with my preacher. I always ask this question. Is your preacher better than God? Huh?
Amen.
Is your preacher better than God? God is the one who got the answer, Brother Parker, Brother Robinson, Brother Williams.
Yes.
Not us. We don't have no answer. This book was written before all of us was born. But yet men will tell her, well, let me go check with my pastor, my reverend, and all of that stuff.
Yes.
Let's see what God got to say about it. If God said it, leave it alone. You see, like Brother Robinson started out with 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We got folk in the church that left the church and teaching some other kind of doctrine. Then we know those folks outside of the church, they're going to teach whatever they want to teach. We must, and I put this word must on that, we must tighten up the belt on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no way getting around it. We just come straight forward and tell the folks the truth. You see, Jesus told us how to do it. All we got to do is follow the diagram of the book and follow it just the way he said it and preach the gospel. It's not about saving bodies. It's about saving souls.
Amen.
We are in the soul-saving business for Christ. We take a stand every time. Thank you, brethren.
Amen.
Yes, we're just overjoyed that you tuned in to show that this is holding the Bible word. We want to thank our panel guests, Brother Williams, Brother Johnson, Brother Parker, and Brother Brown for serving as our moderator. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid. Please call us. If you have questions or comments, we want to share with you. We don't want to argue with you. We want to share with you what the Bible says.
Amen.
Every Thursday from 7:30 till 8:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. And if you ask a Bible question, we will give you a Bible answer because the truth has nothing to fear. Truth has nothing to fear. It'll stand by itself. So we encourage you. please call us every Thursday from 7:30 till 8:30, and you can ask a Bible question, and we'll give you a Bible answer. We'll thank all our panel guests. Tune in. We're sponsored by the Church of Christ and Daniel Luke in cooperation with Church of Christ and Group Protective Rock Family for the Minister. Please tune in next time. May God bless you and may God keep you.
My brethren, God bless.
God bless.
Amen. God bless. Yes, sir.